From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
For example, you know, I could pass business deals out there in the marketplace, but I fail when it comes to helping Abby with her homework. I can organize companies, but I lose patience when Anna asks me to organize a garage. I counsel people out of suicide. I stop them from killing themselves. And when I go home, I want to kill my kids.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. You know, a lot of times we can fool people out in the community. We can fool people at church or on the job, but it's pretty hard to fool your own family. They know the real you. That's why it's so important that we live our faith at home. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message from a series entitled An Everyday Faith. This message is called Faith at Home.
We're going to take a look at a story of what happened in Jesus' life that just has intrigued me and hasn't ceased to fascinate me since I read it out of Mark chapter 5. On the eastern border of the Sea of Galilee is an area called the Gerasenes. Now, Jesus gets into a boat and sails over there. In this area is a demon-possessed man that lived among the tombs. Also in the same area were some people that were raising pigs. Now, in those days, it was not kosher for Jewish people to eat ham. And so this was kind of a no-no, but they figured over there where nobody could see, they had a huge pig farm. Over 2,000 of those things. Well, Jesus arrives at the shore. The demon-possessed man comes running to the Lord, and he takes care of this guy, heals him. Well, the demons rush into the pigs, and it so messes the pigs up, they go mad. They rush over a cliff and into the Sea of Galilee. It's the first account in the Bible of a swine dive. And so they go, and they perish. First account of deviled ham, also in the Bible. Well, first time to the devil made a pig of himself. But anyway, they go, okay, I'm running low on jokes. Give me a break. So they go in, crash. They're completely gone. And now the people tell Jesus, leave the region. We want our pigs, but you leave. You're destroying our lifestyle. Even though they knew it was wrong, they said, please leave. Well, here's what happens. The guy that got healed from being demon-possessed, he, in his zeal and enthusiasm, runs up to the Lord and says, that's it. I'm leaving everything. I'm leaving my family. I'm leaving everything, and I'm going to follow you. And you'd think, wow, what a commitment of zeal. But the Lord's answer still baffles me today. He said to him, no, I don't want you to do that. And I thought, well, wait a minute here. This is quite a commitment. And the Lord says, no, let me tell you where the greatest commitment of your faith will be expressed. And he then gives his answer to this man found at the top of our notes. Let's read it. Ready? Go. And he said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. Would you circle the words, go home? Go home. I mean, no, not you. But just circle the words, go home. What God is saying is this. One of the most important places where your faith will be displayed is not out on the highways and the byways. It's not under the footlights. It's not on the front cover of a magazine. It's at home. Go there and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Go there and express the Lord's great mercy on you. He's saying if you can't do it there, you're not going to do it out in the highways and byways. If you can't express it here, you won't be able to do it out there. And if you do, it will be something that's more cosmetic than true and genuine. And when God checks, as it were, the oil, or he checks the dipstick of our life, he'll put it in the heart of our homes and our relationships that are closest to us. Because that is where the greatest tests of our faith will occur. He's saying one of the most important places you can follow the Lord is at home. That's where it begins. Can't do it there. You won't do it out in the highways and the byways. But isn't that true? That's who you really are. Isn't that right? At home. I mean, you can fool the public. I can fool the people out there, but I can't fool you know, my wife. You know, that if you really want to know what I'm really like, you ask Anna. You don't ask others, because you can't fool your wife. I can buy her off with a Ross credit card or something, but... but they know who you really are, and that's where your faith will be found most genuine or most disingenuous, will be at home. Often I find people say, well, you know, I've got an advanced faith, Wayne, and you know, maybe so. They go to church, they know a few scriptures, they know just enough to push people's buttons and to appear real religious or real advanced in their faith. But where your faith will be tested will not be in the advanced fields. That's not where your faith will be tested. It'll be tested under the most remedial conditions. And if you can't stand up there, you won't stand up in anything more advanced. It'll be there in the most remedial places. For example, you know, I could pass business deals out there in the marketplace, but I fail when it comes to helping Abby with her homework because I lose patience. I get upset. I can organize companies, but I lose patience when Anna asks me to organize a garage. That's tough. I counsel people out of suicide. I stop them from killing themselves. But when I go home, I want to kill my kids. Not true. That's where it'll get tested. That's where it will rise or fall. It's at home. That's why the Lord said, go home. Because that's where your faith will truly begin to be developed. And the tests will start there. It's not in the advanced things. You know, Monday, to show you how we have a tendency to fall on the most basic. Monday, I went up to Kauai to do some writing. And you know how there's increased security now at the airport? It's a little inconvenient. And so you go through these metal detectors and these people with these black wands, you know, that check, you know, for cavities and everything. And so I had my computer in my suitcase and I ran it through. And I guess you have to take it out of the suitcase now and have it in its own tray. So this thing went through, and this lady on the other side, as I went through, she said, do you have a computer? I said, yes. She said, take it out. I said, you mean take it out of my suitcase? Because it already went through. And she said, take it out. So I said, just take it out. So I'm so glad my bibs were clean, because, you know, you have to wrap up those things. So that's the best thing to wrap it up with. So I, oh, God. And people are watching. Said, wait. And she's waiting for me to take this thing. So yes. So I take it back out, run that through, zip up my bag, got to run that back through. And then I come back through the thing, and she said, you have telephone. Telephone, pen. So I take that out and put that back. She had me run the stuff 3 times through. So finally I get out, and she starts getting this wand all over me. Hand out. So she's whipping this thing around. And it beeps at the pocket. She starts whacking my pocket. Whap. What are you doing? She said, can't you hear that? I said, yes, I can. It's beeping. She said, what do you have? Take it out. So I pulled out. I said, 35 cents. I said, I can get more if you like. Now, you never joke with those ladies. That was my first mistake. She looked at me, and she was so mad. She said, take off your belt. I said, take off your belt. And then I did, this is my second mistake. I joked with her. I said, if my pants falls off, it's your fault. Ooh, she got mad. Take off your belt. So I took off my belt. I said, here it is. She said, no, don't take off your belt. Just take off your belt. I could not figure out what was going on. Now, by this time, I'm burning up on the inside. I'm thinking, this woman is enjoying her authority at minimum wage. I mean, they had me run the stuff through. They checked my bags. They went through it, you know. And I mean, do I look like a terrorist? Don't answer that. And so finally, I got on my stuff, and I'm just walking down, you know, to the concourse towards the plane. And I just feel the Lord, just like you, laughing at me, just laughing. I said, yeah, Wayne, you're a big guy, all you're this preacher, you can't even handle security over here. What's the matter with you? It's like the Lord saying, where your faith will be really tested, it will be in the most remedial places, isn't it? That's where we rise or fall in regard to our faith. That's where it'll be tested. But we want to pass those tests. And so it's there there in our homes, there in our close relationships, that God is going to build an everyday faith. Because it's there that we learn certain lessons that you will not learn in the highways and the byways. That's the only classroom to build a certain kind of commitment, a certain kind of love that will change the world. That's why family is so incredibly important. Now, this is not to be some guilt thing, because some people say, well, Wayne, it's too late for me. I've already stumbled in that area. Listen, put these in your heart, because we've learned the definitions of faith and commitment and love from Hollywood, from internet chat rooms, from locker room advisors. It's time we learn the definition of these words from God himself. So here it is. We're going to unlearn some things and relearn some things God's way about certain words, certain elements of our faith that will only be developed in the home front. If there were another way, he would do it. But that's why God says family is so incredibly important. Go home and start your faith there, because that is so important to you becoming the person I want you to be. Because you're going to learn certain things that will be tested. And the first is this. You're going to receive the test of what it means to have an unconditional commitment. Would you write that in? An unconditional commitment. God will teach us certain things about commitment that will only be found in a family setting. Let's read Psalm 105 together and see what it says. Ready? Go. He always stands by his covenant, the commitment he made to 1,000 generations. Would you underline, he always stands by his covenant? It's an unconditional choice that he made. Not a commitment to you and me because we deserve it. Not a commitment that he's made because we perform well. It's a choice that he made. Why? Because God knows that nothing of lasting value will ever take place without or outside the realm of a genuine, unconditional commitment. You'll see that in business. If you're committed just until you feel good and then you drop out, no success will take place. If you're committed just as people treat you well and do what you want them to get your way, and when they don't, then you're out, that commitment will not develop anything of value. An unconditional commitment is absolutely, incredibly important and crucial to developing anything of lasting value. Look at Babe Ruth, who had a commitment to being a home run king. Hit 714 home runs, but prior to him doing that, or in order for him to do that, he went up to the plate and swung the bat and struck out 1,336 times. There was a time in his career where when he went up to bat, the people would boo him because he was striking out so much. But his commitment carried him through even the veil of tears till we know him today as Babe Ruth, the home run king. Henry Ford went broke 5 times before perfecting the car that bears his name today. 5 times. Theodore Geisel, who was a children's editor, a children's book writer, was rejected not once, not 5, not 15, but 21 times when he submitted a manuscript for a children's book. 21 rejections. Until a friend finally said, well, I'll publish it. It is now in its 20th printing. He pens under his pen name, Dr. Seuss. Nothing of value happens outside of the realm of commitment. And the same is true with family. It happens in family. It's developed there in family. But you see, that kind of an unconditional commitment, a choice to make a commitment, refuses to give in to failure. Did you know that successful people normally fail more times than people who are failures? You know why? Because the ones that are failures give up after the 3rd, 4th, or 5th try. Whereas those who are successful have failed often but refuse to give up. As was the case of a man named Harlan who had a restaurant and he was retiring. The restaurant closed down. He got his first Social Security check, $98. He said to himself, I can't even survive on this. So he took the best part of his restaurant. He had a little chicken recipe, and he tried to sell it to some restaurants, and they refused. Why should they buy his? They had their own. So he went to another and another. Finally, he said, I will give you my recipe. Just give me a percentage of the proceeds. They said, why should we even do that? We're already selling our own chicken. he went around and got 1,011 refusals. On the 1,012th time, someone said, I'll try it, I'll take it. And now Colonel Sanders, Harlan Sanders, or known to us as a Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise, has made him a multimillionaire. Let me ask you this. If he would have been rejected the 1,012th time, do you think he would have given up? What if he got a rejection on the 1,015th time? Do you think he would have given up? No. You see, here it is. He would have kept going until he was successful. There was an unconditional commitment. And nothing less than that will produce healthy families. If they can do that for chicken, if they can do that for cars, if they can do that for hitting a round white ball out of the park, then we can do that for something as critical and crucial as family. But it requires that kind of unconditional commitment. Nothing less will do. If you have any lack of commitment, it'll get tested. And if it's going to be tested anywhere, it'll get tested at home in relationships. It'll come out. I mean, it'll bleed out in this and bleed out in that, a little joke here, a joke there. It'll come out. It doesn't matter how much you cosmetically cover that over. Story was told by just a guy, a friend of mine, just here in the church just the other day. Story of a man and a wife walking along the beach, and they were arguing with one another. But when people would come, they just try to make sure that everybody sees that they're a good family, and then when they would leave, rah, 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 rah. Finally, she got mad, and she said, I'm going to sit over there on the wall. She said, go, get out of here, sit on the wall, I don't care. And so he's kicking the sand, and up came this bottle, and boop, this genie comes out of this bottle. And he says, you're having a problem with your wife, aren't you? I guess it was a counselor kind of genie. And he said, well, I don't want people to know, but she just makes me so mad. I want to get out of this marriage. He said, no. I want to give you 3 wishes. But I want you to know that because I want you guys to do well, and I want you to be committed to your wife, I'm going to give you 3 wishes. But everything you wish for, I'm going to give your wife twice as much. So you better think well. He said, what do you mean twice as much? Well, try it. It's okay. Give me $1,000,000. All of a sudden, boom, he gets $1,000,000. He looks over at the wall, boom, boom. She has 2 stacks, $2,000,000. Ooh, he said, I don't like this. Jeannie says, that's commitment. That's love. So you got to learn that. Ooh, he said, let me try this. Give me a 10-carat diamond. Boom. All of a sudden, he looks at his wife, boom, boom. On her hand, she got 2. Ooh, ooh, he's a man. Jeannie says, you got 1 more wish. He said, oh, okay, I got to make this one good. That's right, you got to make this one good. Oh, man, he said, I'm so mad. Scare me half to death. You guys. It will come out. Any lack of commitment will be tested. So what do you need to do to develop an unconditional commitment? Well, would you write in the first bullet? First, is there a choice to forgive? You've got to make a choice to forgive. No, not if they deserve it. No, not if you feel good about it. What does God say about it? Now, be careful, because often we make God say what we want him to say, so he becomes our genie in the lamp. He's there to serve us, whatever we want him to say. We can make him, he can become a marionette or a kind of like a ventriloquist kind of puppet, because we say what we want him to say. Be very careful. But a choice to forgive is absolutely critical in developing an unconditional commitment. Let's read what it says here in 1 Peter 4:8. Ready? Go. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. Now, would you underline, keep fervent in your love for one another? Keep fervent in your love for one another. Now, this is going to be important to not only in family, but friendships, commitment, church, etc., just love. Now, here's what God is saying. Keep fervent in your love for one another, because actually in the Greek it says this kind of love covers a multitude of sins. Well, what kind? The word fervent in its original is a word that means stretching and straining. It's fervent means like the pulling of a rubber band. And what God is saying is, above all, keep stretching and straining in your love for one another, because that's the kind of love that will cover a multitude of sins. That's the kind of love that God had that covered the sins of the world. Stretching and a straining love. How many of you would say, there are members in my family that stretch and strain my love? Raise your hand. Yeah, don't look to the left. Don't look to the left. Just straight. Yeah, it happens in us. But listen, that's the kind of love that Jesus says will change the world. See, often our love is the opposite. Don't stretch my love. Don't strain this relationship that's already going to the dogs. Don't try your luck on that. And what we're saying is, don't make my love have to stretch. Well, if that's the kind of love that we've learned and that's the kind of love that we carry, it will not change a thing in your family. It won't change a hurting situation. God is saying it's the kind of love that's willing to be stretched and strained. That's the kind of love that will cover a multitude of sins. You see, my love will be strained and will be stretched. But God gave forgiveness. God gave love even when it didn't feel good. The kind of love that the Bible calls is an agape love is a love of choice where God says, I will love you and I have made the choice to do that. And your performance or your response to that love will not determine the continuance of my love because my love is a love of choice. That's why when people have rejected God's love, he continues to love. Now they can reject him into oblivion, but it doesn't stop his love. His love always has an open door. That's why the next scripture says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. What is he saying? Even if they close their door on you, you keep your door open to them. Though they've rejected you, you get to not do that with one another. Keep that heart open. Because that is beginning to approach God's kind of love that changed the world. That will change family situations. So an unconditional commitment has to unlearn the old way and relearn what it means to have an everyday faith defined by God himself. A love of choice. A choice to forgive. The first is, make sure that you've got that kind of love that stretches. And just like the Lord's love, when he bore the cross for you and me, do you think he was filled with nice feelings? No, it was painful. But that choice to love, Father, forgive them. That forgiveness came. Not because it felt good, but because it was a choice that he made. That's the kind of love. That's the kind of commitment. That's the kind of forgiveness that changed the world. And he's saying, unless we learn that, our families won't change. It's God's love, God's commitment, God's forgiveness that we get to exude. Not only that, if we're going to build an unconditional commitment in our families, it'll require, and would you write down the second bullet, a choice, the choice of self-control. The choice of self-control. Let's read this in 1 Thessalonians. Ready? Go. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Would you underline control his own body? You see, when I said yes to Anna at the altar, I was not only just saying yes that you're the first love. No, I'm saying you're my only love, and I'm saying yes to you. And in essence, I'm saying no to every other opportunity that may come along in the future. Doesn't matter how wonderful, how shapely, how young, how nice that opportunity may be packaged in. When I say yes to her, I'm saying no to every other opportunity. Now that is going to require self-control. Because I go through the same thing that many of you do. Because you see, I'm still a virile young man. And so it's going to require self-control to keep that unconditional commitment or the choice of commitment. That kind of love, that's what makes families. That's what changes the world. That's what changes lives. Without self-control, you will not be able to have a chosen commitment. It requires that. You say, well, you shouldn't have to have that. Sure you do. Do you know that that's a fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22 is the fruit of the Spirit. What pleases the Spirit, what the Spirit wants to bear through you. The fruit is of the Spirit. So he's bearing the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Here's the last one, self-control.
You've just heard a message entitled Faith at Home by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening, and please tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
Celebrate this Easter season with New Hope Oahu. Join me, Pastor Wayne Cordero, on Good Friday, April 19th at 5 and 7 p.m. And on Easter, for Saturday services, it's 3, 5, and 7, and Sunday, 7, 9, and 11. Be inspired by worship from New Hope Oahu music, heartfelt testimonies, and a powerful message of hope. For more information, you can go to enewhope.org, and we'll see you this Easter at New Hope Oahu as we welcome you to our home.